B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Toucher. Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich. Put your dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The energy overall was good for our whole team. I thought we came out and played the right way. I thought the second unit obviously did a lot of good things. Romeo's defense was excellent. Rob obviously gave us a lot once he got settled in defensively, and then offensively he gave us a lot at the rim all day.
It's Brad Stevens. After the Celtics dropped 149 points on a severely undermanned Brooklyn Nets team in the bubble. Actually, Celtics had the ball last. They could have easily, they had a fast break opportunity they passed up and just dribbled out the clock. It could have been 150 points. But Celtics are 2-2 since the NBA restart in seeding games. They beat two bad teams in the Portland Trailblazers and Brooklyn Nets and lost to two good teams in the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. So the question is now, with the playoffs a little more than four games away, do you believe in this team? How far do you think they will go? Has your opinion on them changed at all? 617-779-0985. We'll talk to the play-by-play voice of the Celtics, Sean Grandy. He can talk about Cedric Maxwell's pizza ordering and the pandemic hermetically sealed location that they broadcast from. But, Joe, I wanted to get your opinion on this. I've watched the Celtics, and, of course, the loss to Miami was bad because they didn't have Jimmy Butler. But I still think there are a lot of good things about this team. I still think that, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown will show big in the playoffs. And when Kemba Walker, who's going to get 28 or 29 minutes tonight, something like that, when he's up to full speed, you know, the Celtics wings are as good as any wings in the NBA. I think that this team can certainly win two playoff series. They can, I think it'll take a lot, but they can probably beat Toronto in a seven-game series at the end of the day if they get contributions from everyone. I am very bullish on this team after watching them, even though they're 2-2.
So I think anything but Eastern Conference Finals is a disappointment. I know Gorman said that this week. If they happen to play Milwaukee, you know, in that second round, then we'll see what happens there. I just look long-term at the team. While it's hard for me to look at positives. We know Jaylen Brown's a positive, right? Tatum had that one game. Maybe it was rust. Maybe it was the haircut. He's played better. Tice has really, you know, filled into a starting role. Marcus Smart clearly is one of your best players, you know, defensive players. That's all there. But it's all stuff we know. Like, we know that Kemba Walker is one of their better players. I'm looking long-term here. I'm just wondering how they're going to defend. They're one of the worst defensive teams right now in the bubble.
They defended a lot. Now, again, it was Brooklyn. I know they were missing all their top guns, but the last time the Celtics played Caris LeVert, he scored over 30 points in the fourth quarter and dropped 50 on them, and the Nets beat them. There was a concerted effort to limit him. And LeVert, in case you don't know, is a very good offensive player, and he can score, but the Celtics did a very good job of limiting him. Marcus Smart was on him exclusively when Smart was on the floor, and the Celtics took care of business there. I think that's a step in the right direction. I'm not saying they're the lockdown defensive team they were before the break, but I liked a lot of what I saw. You can throw the second half out in the first half against a team that had beaten them the last time they saw them.
Yeah, I think defense is their concern, to your point. Maybe they took a step, learned something there. But tonight they're going to play a different team. Defensively, I think they match up well in this type of game. I don't want to call Toronto a half-court team, but they like to get it up the floor, you know, with Lowry. Fred VanVleet's running all over the place. You know, Siakam likes to get the ball, you know, and take it to the post with Marcus Gasol. Like,
he can hit threes, too.
And like I said, they're not a team that's going to, you know, run off screens and try to open up three-point shooters. They're more of a half-court that you can match up well with these guys. You know, the problem is the size, right? Who matches up with Ibaka? Do you put Tatum on Ibaka?
The Celtics aren't going to get any bigger. The Celtics are smaller than every other good team they're going to play.
That's fine.
Whether it be now or in the playoffs, they have to figure out a way to counteract that, and that's where the wings come in. We were talking about Tatum. Jaylen Brown has taken such a major step forward in the last week. I mean, you forget how good he was before the break, but Jaylen Brown, not only a good defensive player, but, I mean, earlier in his career, he had a confidence problem. He'd miss one or two, start squeezing the ball a little bit more, and then miss his next six. He's able to, the maturation, and maybe it's because he got the big contract, but he is maturing right in front of our eyes. This guy is going to be maybe your number two or three scorer on this team.
Yep.
Now, Kemba Walker has shown an ability to step back and facilitate and let everyone else take care of it. Jaylen Brown is so big these next six weeks. I mean, Kemba Walker's knee is important, but Jaylen Brown being consistent all the way through is equally as important, and I think that's what carries them to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Agreed. I think what Jaylen Brown brings to the team is it's kind of like how he goes, the team goes. But I think we should just mention Gordon Hayward for a minute here. I think they got what we're seeing now is the guy that they wanted. Maybe he's not 25 points a game all-star, but hey, 16, 17 points a game with your rebounds and passing ability, like, he's doing all of that. There's no more is Gordon Hayward healthy or any of that. He's now the guy that we once thought he was going to be. And I know he's in an he's got a chance to opt back in, which he probably will in a pandemic.
Yeah, but I don't think the numbers he's putting up, I don't think any team's going to pay him $30 million.
But he's doing what you
thought. But he is healthy, and with Kemba off the floor, he's shown the ability to facilitate, and that's what you saw when he was in Utah. Yeah. I mean, if you watch, not many people do, but I'm a basketball psycho, so I did. The Utah Jazz, with Gordon Hayward as their number one player, the last 5 minutes of every game they played was basically spread the floor, if it was close, give Gordon Hayward the basketball, and let him go to work. And that's the Gordon Hayward you see now. So you have four guys that can really contribute on the offensive end of the floor now because Gordon Hayward is playing so well. And it doesn't matter that they lost to Milwaukee, where they really had a chance to win, or lost to Miami, which, in my opinion, was a fluke. I think, ultimately, this team is going to perform very well when it matters.
I got nothing, John.
Oh, I thought you had something to say. You were saying something earlier, so okay.
Just one last thing about tonight. Toronto's a big team. Anunoby, he's 6'7", Siakam, 6'9". We know about Gasol, Ibaka off the bench, Hollis Jefferson, like... I'm just curious how they match up size. We know that they struggle stopping the three-pointer. They struggle doing that. Now how do they do it matching up against bigs tonight? I think it's a favorable matchup for the Celtics, and it's maybe a little bit easier in the half court, but are they going to get out-rebounded, putbacks, things of that degree?
How much does this game really matter in the grand scheme of things? Celtics are pretty much, if they win, or even if they don't win, they have three very easy games after this. They're pretty much locked into the three seed. In Toronto, because they started well and played very well once the seeding game started, they're locked into the number two. So this game, in the end, I mean, there's no message being sent. I guess it's kind of like the Bruins game over the weekend. You wanted them to play, or earlier this week, you wanted them to play well. But ultimately, beating Toronto tonight or not beating Toronto tonight doesn't mean all that much.
The one thing I'd like to see change with this team is these first quarter blowouts. Like, yeah. Why are they getting crushed in the first quarter?
Every game.
I mean, it's, even it was happening before the whole coronavirus lockout. And I just don't understand why that's happening. I think it happened Christmas Day against Toronto. I feel if they can fix that, that's going to be huge for them, like getting to a championship.
But you might be right. But I don't know, Mike. I kind of disagree because the NBA, everybody makes a run at any time.
Sure.
And the Celtics fell behind 17-2 to Milwaukee, and they were right there at the end. They fell behind big. I remember that game against Toronto on Christmas Day, but they wound up winning the basketball game. Now, would it be nice to sprint out to a 20-point lead and hold it the entire game? Yeah, but I don't think that's the NBA, really.
So you mentioned how important is tonight's game. I just want to see them compete with a team that is better than them right now. They are. They're better than
record-wise, they are, yes.
And we talked about this off the air, but the games in the bubble have been good. There have been it hasn't been a predictable NBA.
Now, betting-wise, that's got to be a pain in the ass for you.
Take the over, baby.
The overs have been hit.
That's the thing. Hit the over. That's very true. So, actually, it's interesting. The over-under for the Celtics was what in these eight games?
They were very high.
It was a 5.5?
The 5.5.
Yeah, okay, so they've won two. They have three very easy games after this. For the over-under folks, this is the swing game tonight. You have to hope they win to hit the over, correct?
That's right. Well, like a little something to play for there.
So you're going to lay
Vegas knows a little something.
You're laying it in? You're laying it in on this?
I like Toronto tonight.
You do?
Yeah, the Celtics haven't shown us anything against a quality team. They haven't. Until then, you're not betting them.
Well, they were even with Milwaukee until the last 2 minutes. In the first game.
Milwaukee yesterday impressed the hell. Like, what did that game matter? Milwaukee and the Heat, right? It's big for the Heat. The Heat could catch up to that three spot. That 20-0 run yesterday, that was ridiculous. Miami, I thought, was going to close that thing out. and then Middleton happened. I thought it would be Giannis.
Yeah, I know.
It was Middleton.
Middleton actually threw an alley-oop in that game. It was supposed to be an alley-oop to Giannis, and he banked it in instead. That's what you know. Chris Middleton has things going. 617-779-0985. We will continue our Celtic discussion with the voice of the Celtics, Sean Grandy. He is next on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
63-52, Miami by 11, 20 seconds into the third quarter.
This one's for you.
No kidding.
Pizza time.
Double beat on this beat, so thank you.
Friday edition, Toucher and Rich, John Wallach, Joe Murray in. Those were the dulcet tones of Sean Grandy and one Cedric Maxwell. And
pizza time.
Celtics will play Toronto tonight in the bubble in Orlando. 8:30 pregame, 9 o'clock tip right here on your flagship radio station for the Celtics, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sean Grandy joins us live on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Sean, so many questions about pizzas and broadcast locations. Where do I start?
Bubble Max, right? It's a whole new thing. Little did we know it was possible to expand on the legend, but he has done it.
So what is your reaction exactly with the guy, you know, Eric Gordon hobbling off the floor and there's a pizza that arrives? And you know, I've had a small taste of Maxwell getting, you know, distracted and disappearing and reappearing at weird times. But I have to admit, when you're in a building that's empty in a pandemic, I'm thinking even that took you by surprise.
The degree to everything we have to go through, right? All of us now are in this brand new world where we have to do things we've never had to do before. So the degree of security and health checks, and you having something aimed at your head as a temperature check, and you got to fill out forms, and we have to go through security, and you work your way through this cavernous building, you know, through all the different hoops you have to jump through to make sure you can be in this building, and you get there, and it's like being in the, you know, go back to like 24 and Jack Bauer, and you're in a Czechoslovakian prison camp, and all of a sudden he manages to get pizza delivered into that. And I how is this even possible? And yet, I guess I should have known.
Did he give you a piece?
I think that everybody there ended up, you know, sort of partaking in the, you know, in the Maxwell feast. But it was just, I think he has acclimated well. I think he has put the quote unquote hardships that people are talking about behind him, and has found a way to press on.
Last question, and then we'll get off this and get on to current day topics. But I've been asked this question a lot. What's the weirdest thing you've seen either A, Max order to the table, or B, Max leave you for?
That is, I don't think that's a short answer. My goodness, that's 20 years of, I think what is abnormal to you and what makes people react now is so secondhand and normal to me, I don't think there is anything I could ever look over and see Max doing, eating, or partaking in that would cause me any surprise at all.
I understand. And again, I have 1 millionth the experience you do. I kind of see where you're coming from. All right, so Celtics in Toronto tonight, they're 2-2 since the restart. We were talking about it a little bit in the segment before you came on. I'm very bullish on this team. I think the defense will come along, but I like the way Tatum is playing. Jaylen Brown is exploded, as we all knew he would, and Kemba Walker's knee looks fine. Gordon Hayward looks great. What is your opinion on all this?
Yeah, I think that's a nice summation. I think we can move on. I think you've covered it. Now, I think the Kemba issue is really probably the most encouraging thing is that you've noticed the minute restriction. Right? Like there's times you really needed Kemba on the floor in some of these games because he is playing so well. And I think we forget that his year, and it's interesting, this is something Max and I have talked about a lot when it comes to Jaylen Brown. Listen, Jason Tatum has earned all the praise and the attention from the other players in the league and the national media and things like that and his ascendancy. And he earned that spot on the All-Star team. I don't think there's any question about it. And we know how high his ceiling is. Kemba stormed out of the gate after the first couple of games and was playing at an extremely high level in November and December, and he earned his spot in the All-Star team. We forget Gordon Hayward was playing at an All-Star level when he got hurt, and the only reason he wasn't a consideration for the All-Star team because he missed so many games during that first half of the year. But Kemba had injury issues and some inconsistency in January and February. You know, Gordon Hayward had the injury. We forget that Jason Tatum, as good as he was defensively at the start of the year, he was struggling to find his shot and change his entire shot selection up from a year ago. And there were times you could just sort of see him thinking it through as he was struggling early in the year. You could make a case Jaylen Brown has been the most consistent Celtic all year long. And I think one of the best parts about this year, when you talk about the two young guys, is this. Jason Tatum made the All-Star team and then got better after that. And it energized him, and he kind of went to a different place. Jaylen Brown misses the All-Star game, and he got better after, you know, either as a result or not. And I think you could tell right away when the seeding game started and the scrimmages who's really been in the gym and who wasn't able to do it as much. And Jaylen Brown has been in the gym putting in work. And obviously we know where he was, you know, other places. And as I've said many times, I think Celtic fans are going to be much prouder of Jaylen Brown's accomplishments 40 years from now in life than what he's going to be able to do in his NBA career. But he's been really, really good. And I think the only, I don't say downside, John, but I think one of the reasons everyone was so bullish on the Celtics was because we were assuming, knock on whatever, that, you know, guys were going to be unavailable left and right, that there'd be positive tests and guys would have fevers and there'd be a lot more guys missing games than certainly has happened to this point. And the Celtics were more depth proof, you know, because of that, because they have, you know, as good a top six maybe as anybody else.
Hey, Sean, obviously tonight they play the Raptors. I actually think this is an important game considering the Magic, Grizzlies, and Wizards are on deck. You mentioned the Kemba restricted minutes, but, you know, how beneficial do you think these eight games can be for them? I mean, have they even really been able to get into a playoff rhythm as far as a rotation goes? The defense has been bad, but, like, I don't know, I feel like tonight's game, at least, you can try to get that playoff feel for tonight.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is important for that reason. It's about... sending a message is overstating it, but I think we have all waited for, listen, in 25 years, the only team in the Eastern Conference the Celtics haven't played in the, you know, haven't met in the playoffs is Toronto. So to some degree, it's been a 25-year wait for this to happen, but really over the last 5 or 6 years, it's amazing that the Celtics and Raptors have been in the playoffs constantly, and they've you know, LeBron has taken one or the other out. So this meeting has never happened, and finally they're on track. Toronto's going to finish second. The Celtics are going to finish third. And if they can both win in the first round, this series is finally going to happen after many, many years of waiting. And these teams played 3 times early in the year. They haven't played since December. So going into a potential playoff series, you know, on the 1st of September, which is what everybody's kind of hoping for and anticipating, this, whatever happens tonight, will be really the only fresh memory of these two teams playing against each other. And I think it was very tough for it to be the first game, but you wanted to see where you stand against Milwaukee, because that's the standard right now in the NBA, let alone the Eastern Conference. And I think you want to find out. Milwaukee's been the best team all year. Toronto has been the best team in the bubble. So that's why these two games and what you're going to see tonight, not necessarily winning or losing, because the seeding is irrelevant. One of my concerns about the eight games was, yeah, you want to gear up, but there wasn't going to be a lot of suspense for the Celtics as far as their seeding is concerned. Losing to Miami added a little bit the other day because Miami kind of is still hanging around. Celtics haven't clinched the 3 spot yet, but they're going to. So there isn't a lot of suspense about where you're going to finish, which could lead to some real, you're sort of implying it, some garbage time games. You know, Sunday could be one. Certainly the Thursday game against Washington is going to be a throwaway game by the time we get there. And maybe if the Celtics have clinched by Tuesday, that game won't have any effect either. So tonight is the biggest game as far as, you know, playoff significance and where the Celtics stand as far, you know, the import of the game, tonight's the biggest by far.
Sean, the bench has been debated, as I'm sure you know, and the lack of scoring off the bench has been debated. We're seeing more minutes for Romeo Langford, who has done very well for himself, mostly on the defensive end of the floor. What do you say to the people who criticize the lack of pop off the bench this team has?
Well, you have what you have. I mean, there's nothing you're going to do about it. There's no trade deadline inside the bubble. So I think it gets frustrating for people. There's a trickle down. If the Celtics lose a couple of guys and you're counting on, you know, Brad Wanamaker's had a really good year. But I think people get frustrated sometimes because he's not Kemba Walker. And he's not supposed to be Kemba Walker. He was a 28-year-old rookie last year, you know, after playing his entire career in Europe, and he's given the Celtics very good minutes. You know, knock on wood, he's got one more free throw he can miss. But if he only misses one the rest of the way, he's going to win the free throw title. He's been a very reliable, you know, player in his spot. There are a couple of teams in the league, obviously the Clippers, because they've got Lou Williams when he's not meandering outside the bubble, and Montrezl Harrell, who, you know, there are a couple of teams that have some dynamic players coming off the bench, but not a lot of teams do. Take the Lakers, for example, who go into the bubble here without Rondo and Avery Bradley. They're not as deep as you you thought they were going to be. I don't think that the Celtics, no one is saying that their bench is the best bench in the NBA, but I think it's probably worth remembering once in a while as we go into the playoffs. You know, Toronto's a team that's greatly exceeded expectations. But here, you know, you guys are, and you've been talking this week, and people have been concerned about the defense and the bench. And, boy, can this team win the championship and make the run? It's probably worth remembering that in October, we didn't necessarily think this team was going to have home court in the first round of the playoffs. You know, you replaced Kyrie with Kemba Walker, and that was certainly one heck of a save. But Al Horford had been the glue guy on this team the last 3 years, and he was not replaced. And so I think we've all just, what's happened generally almost virtually every year except last year in the Brad Stevens era, the team has played, you know, above its station and raised expectations to where you have this pause, and now you're coming back, and people are talking about the Celtics as a team that can go to the finals and maybe win. If this is the same year, this is 1920, a year that started with, you know, the Celtics being thought of as maybe a 50-win team that was sort of in a transitional year after you lose, you know, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. So probably worth remembering that once in a while when you look at this team as maybe, well, where's the defense and where's the bench? Celtics have been the fifth-best team in the NBA all year. They've been a better team than last year despite all these different things. And you've seen them play against the elite teams in the league. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, Toronto have been the best teams. And look how well the Celtics have played against those elite teams this year. And tonight will be that last test against an elite team before the playoffs.
Now, Sean, when this whole thing started, I was thinking that maybe something weird would happen. A team would come out of nowhere and kind of make a run at it. Not necessarily a championship, but maybe like in a conference final. And I think we're seeing the emergence of the Phoenix Suns. They have won all their games so far in the bubble. I was at the game in January when they beat the Celtics. Do you think we're seeing a team in the Phoenix Suns who is emerging right now?
I don't think there's any question. There's some really interesting things to watch. What this has become, Joe, and it's interesting that we often talk about young players making the leap, right? From year one to year two to year three. It's, you know, freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior. And that's really what this is for young players. You know, Kemba's going to be Kemba in the bubble. LeBron's going to be LeBron. The veterans are going to be the veteran players. But it's when Romeo Langford and particularly Robert Williams have those big games the other night, it's a reminder that it's almost like they're a year older, NBA-wise, and Phoenix has a lot of those guys, and it's a great indication. You think about next year, they had less than a 1% chance to make the playoffs going into the bubble, and now one of the really fun things about next week is, meaningless as the Celtic games may be, and the Eastern Conference might be lining up, you know, that 4-5-6, there'll be some drama about who's going to fall into the 4-5-6 in the East, but the West is insane right now. Everybody is in it for that 8-9, and again, if you're wondering as a Celtic fan, why do I care about what's going on out West with Phoenix and all these teams, is Memphis entered the bubble. The hope was for the Grizzlies was they could keep everybody four games back and wouldn't have to play in an 8-9 play-in.
That was not going to happen.
That was folly. Now, they're staring down the barrel at missing the 8-9. If they lose all their games here. Portland and Damian Lillard absolutely on fire. Phoenix, as you mentioned, is on fire. You know everybody wanted to see Zion in a possible play-in. Now it looks like the Blazers had the inside track for one spot. If the Suns stay hot or the Spurs win all their games, Memphis may miss that 8-9 and fall in out of the playoffs. And by the way, who has the Memphis draft pick?
That's correct.
Next year. So that's just another thing happening. That was unthinkable that the Grizzlies would miss the 8-9 play-in. And now that may happen. You could easily have Phoenix against Portland. And one of the fascinating things happening, talking about this being a new season, we saw Portland, and that was a big real win. I don't think people appreciated how impressive it was to beat the Blazers as hot as they have been when it happened for the Celtics. They had the big lead, and they lost it, and they won that game. You could have Damian Lillard, the hottest shooter in the league right now. Zach Collins and Nurkic are healthy. Portland is healthy. They could roar into that 8 seed. They could have to only win one game, because if they go to 8, the 8 seed only has to win once in the play-in, and all of a sudden here are the Lakers kind of stumbling a little bit without Rondo, without Avery Bradley to play against Damian Lillard, and all of a sudden the Lakers are going to be in a, people are worried about the Celtics having a difficult first-round series. The Lakers, almost by definition, are going to be facing a hot team, in round one.
Last question before we let you go. Sean, I know you've been a big wrestling fan ever since I've known you. You still follow or no?
Well, an interesting thing has happened because you don't really have time, and then your 8-year-old, out of nowhere, becomes obsessed with it, and suddenly it's like back in your, it's this generational, world goes round and round, full circle thing, where all of a sudden your son is completely immersed in it, and he's back enough all the times in all the world for SummerSlam, which was going to be at the Garden in a couple of weeks. And obviously with everything going on, it's not going to happen. So that's kind of a bummer for him. But that's the reason I'm sort of aware of what's going on now is because my son has dragged me back in.
All right. Well, we discussed this, believe it or not, on the program. Joe Murray is a massive wrestling fan as well. The problem is the WWE is in the toilet. They don't have good product right now. How do you fix it, Sean Grandy?
Well, I don't know if the product. I think they're doing what they can. So the only reason this came up and some of the interviews I've done the last couple of weeks was, and one of the reasons I watched a little bit the last couple of months was because WWE and UFC were the only things going on, and I was curious how the announcers were going to do it without fans. You're thinking about energy level and things like that.
And it's been awesome, I think.
Being a longtime fan, I'm in awe of, I was going to say the guys, I'm used to saying that, but it's actually the women that are carrying the show to some degree, that the level of concentration and performance without fans, you talk about depending on fans, right, for your performance and who you're telling a story in front of, it's been pretty impressive to see, and obviously TV ratings are down. That was expected, given this, and they have to get their fans back. But it's been, I don't know if the product has been as off given the circumstances. It's just that you watch something your entire life a certain way, and I think it's still very bizarre to see all these things going on without fans.
All right, Sean, thank you very much.
That's what I'm here for. I can't. How come you haven't had Max on to talk about how he's gotten pizza delivered? That to me is the number one question of the entire bubble.
You're easy to get.
You're trying to get to the bottom of.
You're easier to get hold of.
That's true.
That's very true.
I met him in the parking lot last week because he forgot his iPad. That's about as close as I've gotten to Max.
That also sounds like Max, actually.
that might be. Listen, I'm not saying that no one. I'm sure everyone has done him a favor at some point. I don't think there's any question about that. But, yeah, trying to get him on your ear is a little different.
All right, Sean, thanks. We'll be listening tonight.
You got it, guys.
All right, that is Sean Grandy, Celtics and Toronto Raptors, 8:30 pregame, 9 o'clock tip, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We will take a break. Mike Lockhart has the headlines. And when we come back, we will turn our attention to hockey. We'll talk a little Bruins here on the Toucher and Rich program for a Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the game.
Touchdown, Patriots!
and these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We wanted to show a little, you know, more passion, more competitiveness than we did against the Flyers. I certainly thought we did that. Some of that is, you know, Tampa's become a natural rival. They're finding ways to win games at the end against us. We're going to have to obviously correct that. But I did like that our, you know, our competitive spirit came out.
Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy, after a loss in the NHL bubble up in Toronto to Tampa Bay 3-2. Toucher and Rich program for a Friday. John Wallach, Joe Murray, Mike Lockhart sitting in. Things will, I don't know, back to normal, but Rich will be back on Monday. But the Bruins play the day before that. They play Sunday. Do they have a start time yet for the Bruins game on Sunday?
TBD.
Yeah, the Bruins play the Washington Capitals in their final round-robin game on Sunday, and if the Bruins win the game, they are the 3 seed. If they lose the game, they will be the 4 seed. As to who they will play, there are still so many combinations. You know, Carolina has won. They're the 6. Pittsburgh's the 5, and they trail the Montreal Canadiens in that series, but who knows what it's going to look like on Monday. That's all we know. The Bruins win, they're the 3. They lose, they're the 4 after posting the best record in the National Hockey League. And the question is, did the Bruins' performance in the last 2 periods against Tampa Bay turn your opinion around on this team after just horrible efforts in their first 2 games? An exhibition game against Columbus and their first game back against Philadelphia. And like the Celtics, Joe, I'm kind of bullish on what I saw from the Bruins. There was a lot of fight, a legit fight in their output the last 2 periods, and Tampa's Tampa. I mean, you get a bad bounce, and they really came at the Bruins tough in the last 2 or 3 minutes a couple of days ago, and stuff like that happens. But I like the way this team is progressing, and you add to that the fact that it seemed that after the game, Bruce Cassidy and Tuukka Rask seemed to echo everyone's sentiment that the Bruins are just taking these 3 games as a run-up to the playoffs. If they win, great. If they lose, that's too bad. But I kind of like where they are in their progression. They're moving forward.
So I think that what Rask said about, you know, we couldn't be the top seed or whatever. And I think that kind of bled into the whole entire team. Like, I'm wondering at some point, like, that first exhibition game, we were like, it's just an exhibition game. Then that was just a poor game against Philadelphia. It was bad. And the defense got worse, at least those first 2 periods against Tampa Bay. Now, did they break the ice? I think they did. The McAvoy goal. You know, Wagner and Corrali play hard, and obviously Wagner gets the goal there. And Tuukka was outstanding until that rebound. I don't blame Tuukka for that. Again, I think there was a breakdown on defense. You know, Corrali out of place. We know about Carlo in that situation. You know, did they break the ice? I think they have. But, dude, they don't beat Washington. They just don't beat them. Is this a different scenario now with Washington going for a different
seed? I think you factor in the bubble, and you factor in a lot of different things and where these 2 teams are. And of course the Bruins are, when they're going right, obscenely talented. I think that they can certainly beat this team. Now, 1 game is different than a 7-game series. I mean, Washington in a 7-game series against the Bruins is a different animal altogether. But in a situation like this, where it's 1 game and both teams are not necessarily concentrating on that game, but more along the lines of, you know, how are we going to do in the playoffs right around the corner, this team is eminently beatable. The Bruins could beat this team.
I think they can. It's just they haven't. And again, it's going to be in a neutral site, so we'll see what happens here. If you told me that the Bruins got swept in the round robin, I'd be shocked. Mm-hmm. Absolutely shocked. And that's the possibility here. You know, the more I look at it, are they a team that can maybe flip a switch if they had to play Carolina in the first round, or Pittsburgh for that matter? Yeah, but the way that Pittsburgh can score, that would concern me. I know I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. There's a game on Sunday.
I wouldn't worry about anything beyond Sunday at this point. You're worried about the same thing I was worried about going into the game against Tampa. How are they going to look? Do they look clean? Do they look the way they looked before the break? And the team I saw in the second and third period against Tampa Bay is the team that posted 100 points and had the best record in the National Hockey League. Tuukka Rask looks good. The first and fourth lines look better. Fourth line has been the best line since the restart. But you saw more from Pastrnak. You saw more from Marchand. Yeah. Maybe I don't know what the deal is with Bergeron at this point. You have to hope that he shows as well. But I like a lot of what I saw. And you can call me a homer. You can call me whatever you want. I have the same feeling about the Bruins that I have about the Celtics. The record may not show it, but I think this is a team that's going to do damage when it matters.
I was just going to mention, how many times have we said Chara looks slow, he looks old?
Looks glacial at times.
Okay. Is this it? I'm not calling out the siren or anything. He's always bounced back, right? He has always bounced back. But he looks damn old and damn slow. And, like, I don't know. Did this break hurt him? I know he still works out. He's, like, one of the strongest guys on the team. He is a liability. He's been a liability the last two games.
Wasn't he kind of a liability later in the season last year, too? Like, didn't we kind of see this start last year?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so
they've had the time off, Mike. Like, he's had all this time off.
Well, maybe that's not a good thing for him. A guy that age, sometimes a layoff can kind of, you know, make your body stiff. And I know he's a workout warrior, but he is definitely getting older.
Like, you mentioned Bergeron. That's fine. The guy plays two-way hockey, one of the only guys who does it. Chara? Like, dude, don't get beat. You got a 10-foot stick. Like, you're 7 feet tall. Don't let anyone get behind you.
Like, dude,
it's like a safety. Don't get beat. Just don't let him get behind you, man. You got a 10-foot stick.
It's every guy at Porter's watching the game around the corner. Every guy, dude, don't get beat. You are a treasure that needs to be kept alive. You are fantastic, Joe Murray.
He really does. How long is that? Dude, we saw him at Pucks and Paddles, and I'm like, Jesus, huge. I'm 6'3". He's 7 feet?
I've had the opportunity to stand next to, back when it was a head shaving thing, and Rich, because of Mary, couldn't show up, so I co-hosted it with Fred, and Fred's like, why don't you go over and talk to Chara? And I remember going over and talking to Chara, and he was sitting down, and he was still up at shoulder level to me, and he flashed a look, and I thought I was going to die. I thought he was going to reach up and snap my neck. That was 5 or 6 years ago, and I understand things are different right now, but it's kind of like with Brady. You know, this is the year he's showing slippage. Yeah. He's going to drop off. I will never bet against that guy until I see it. Until I see it with my own eyes in a playoff situation. I think that Chara, like everybody else, is slowly getting his legs back and ramping his way up to the playoffs. And you can scream all you want, dude, don't get beat. I think ultimately he won't get beat when it matters.
That Cuffs for a Cause that you're talking about was one of my favorite events that we had, because I had to stand there with a recorder next to you, and you were getting your head shaved, and I swear to God he was high. He's like, this feels weird. I've never felt anything
Part of the problem is, and if you're going to bring this up, let's make sure we flesh all this out, I couldn't hear anything. You know, Fred is, of course, firing questions at me from off the stage, and they don't give you a little earpiece.
Right.
So, I mean, you get echoes, and I'm up on a stage, and Fred is, 30-40 feet from me in the crowd. I couldn't hear anything. So I'm trying to answer his questions, but I'm not entirely sure what the question is. And of course, yeah, I was high.
Yeah.
I was sitting there and I was high. And by the way, the tally continues to mount. It right now, in order for me to get some sleep, the tally is 27 marijuana, 4 melatonin. So apparently, I got to go get some edibles when we're done. If I want to get any sleep whatsoever, in case you tuned in late, I haven't slept in 4 days. But, you know, and Lockhart's real excited for me because he wants me to record it once I take the edibles.
Yeah, I'd love to see Wallach on edibles. I'll go out with you.
I'm sure you would.
Maybe we'll rent a boat.
I'm sure
maybe
you
we'll
would.
Go to
you want to rent a boat now?
We'll go to Lake Constituent.
Oh,
then I'll not. We could do that.
Out on fishing, too. Okay, I don't care where it says.
We can go
out on fishing.
We can go to a car wash.
Head on down to Doug Pond.
We can walk around the common and look for guys to punch.
That's right. we can get
ourselves a super sub or
Doug Pond, where the water is crystal clear.
That's where I learned to swim, John.
Pizza Plus.
was. I understand. Yeah, I know. So, yeah. So, coming up at 9 o'clock, we will talk to Ty Anderson, who covers the Bruins and other things for 98.5 The Sports Hub. And coming up at 9:20, Michael Lockhart, how would you describe what we have at 9:20?
Just a little stroll through memory lane. I miss one aspect of this show, and I want it back in my life. It's not going to happen for the foreseeable future.
Yep.
And I want it back, so definitely tune in at 9:20, especially if you were a big fan of the show, you know, throughout the last 10 years.
Yeah, there has been one segment of the program that has been missing for 9 months, maybe longer,
yeah,
maybe a year, that is just a favorite of everyone who listens to this program. And Mike Lockhart, who brought it up in our email chain, and again this morning, I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. I think it needs to be brought back.
Yeah.
And so we will do that next hour. But first, Ty Anderson will continue our Bruins discussion at 9 o'clock. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more Bruins discussion here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.